Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God makes a rather awesome contrast for us in the words that we just heard from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. On one side, we see a description of our current condition, perishable, sown in dishonor, sown in weakness, made of dust, mortal. It's true that if Christ does return soon, not all of us who are sitting here today will see death. But if Jesus delays his return for a number of decades, then all of us sitting here today will die. We will die because all of us are born in the line of our mortal first ancestor, Adam. We have inherited the curse of sin from him, the curse that caused him to die, the curse that caused all of our ancestors after him to die, and the curse that will someday cause us to die as well. But we can't blame Adam for our own weakness and mortality. We can't blame Adam for our sin. We might sometimes try to blame God, at least indirectly, because God knew that Adam would ruin it for us by committing the first sin. But nevertheless, God didn't stop Adam from committing that sin. God didn't force Adam not to eat the forbidden fruit. But the Apostle James in the New Testament tells us very clearly, when tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me," for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. And so we see that we have no one to blame but ourselves, our selfish, sinful selves, often doing only what we want to do without thinking about what God wants us to do, putting ourselves in front of God and above all of God's commandments. And so we break all of those commandments. It's a pretty sorry condition to be in, not just because of all the dishonor and weakness that we read about here in 1 Corinthians 15, but because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And what is perishable is not going to inherit what is imperishable. Because of our sin, our idolatry of self, and our idolatry of our own desires, we not only deserve to suffer the death of our bodies, but we also deserve to suffer eternal death and torture of both body and soul in hell. By rights, because of our sins, God should shut us out from the never-ending bliss of his imperishable heaven. But the Apostle Paul tells us a mystery, something so amazing and miraculous, it's almost illogical. He says, "We will all be changed." We don't deserve it. We deserve to feel the sting of death because of our sin. God's law has made that perfectly clear to us. But as the Apostle Paul says in our reading, thanks be to God. Because as the psalmist writes in Psalm 103, God does not treat us as our sins deserve. He does not repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. God has been mindful of our humble state. God did not shut us outside the gates of his kingdom in our perishable, sinful state. Instead, God himself became one of us in the person of Jesus, our Savior. Jesus left the bliss of heaven, and he clothed his imperishable self with a perishable human body. He satisfied the demands of God's law on our behalf. He took away our sins. He himself suffered the sting of death for our sins so that we don't have to. And then Jesus became the first fruits of what we will become. He rose from the dead in glory on that first Easter morning. He put on the imperishable once again. He clothed his mortal human form with immortality. And so he gives us a picture of what's in store for us also in the future. What we see around us now and what we see and feel within ourselves is weakness and dishonor and shame. Everything in our lives and everything in this world is negatively affected by sin. But Jesus tells us, don't put your focus on those things. Don't worry about that. You won't suffer that forever. That is all temporary. When I call you home to my side in heaven, I will give you what is eternal. I will make you imperishable. The glory and power of perfection and eternal life with me in heaven, instead of dishonor and weakness of sin and death. This is imperishable. This will last forever. This is an inheritance that will never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, because you will enjoy it forever with me in heaven, Jesus says. Death, that ravaging swallower of all things, which is epitomized by the open grave that swallows the bodies of the deceased, death itself has been swallowed up in victory, and the glorious victory of Jesus' resurrection. A victory that Jesus did not keep for himself, but that he freely gives to each of us also, so that we can celebrate his victory with him for all eternity. And so we join with the Apostle Paul in saying, thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.